All right. I'm going to start a new series today, Progressive Christianity and the Undermining of the Biblical Faith. And so today's sermon, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is What is Progressive Christianity? Kevin Max was an original member of the Christian band DC Talk, and he's one of the many well-known Christians who can be described as a progressive Christian. Last year, he tweeted, "Hello, my name is Kevin Max, and I'm an ex-evangelical." Ex-evangelical. An ex-evangelical is someone who no longer identifies as an evangelical. In a later tweet, Max stated that he still believes in the universal Christ. Universal Christ. Well, we will come back to that phrase later in the message. Progressive Christianity is a movement that is gathering speed in our society. More and more people are leaving the evangelical church and are embracing this progressive movement. Years ago, a man told me that he had become a progressive Christian. He'd been an evangelical most of his life, raised in an evangelical home, a converged home, went to Bethel College and graduated from Bethel College. But he told me he was now a progressive Christian. And I had a pretty good idea. This was over 10 years ago. I had a pretty good idea what he meant. I understood his statement to mean that he has changed his way of thinking about certain truths that are in the Bible. And before we dive into this subject of progressive Christianity, we must acknowledge that in recent years, we've read accounts of well-known believers, evangelical Christians, who have didn't become progressive Christians. They've just totally abandoned the faith. They didn't go to progressive Christians. They just left it. They turned their back to it all and said, "We're no longer believers. We're no longer Christians." Abraham Piper, the son of John Piper, would be a notable example of that. Rhett Link are other examples. Joshua Harris is another example. He's a well-known author and pastor. Speaking of author, he wrote this book back in 2010, Dug Down Deep, Unearthing What I Believe and Why It Matters. I read that book. That book changed my life. That book encouraged my faith. Here's the back cover. There's Joshua. Notice the endorsement on top. J.I. Packer endorsed the book. You open up the cover, and Johnny Erickson Tata endorsed it. John Piper endorsed it. Mark Deaver endorsed the book. It was a deep theological book that I just devoured. And I'll talk more about that in a little while. But Joshua Harris turned his back to all of it. Now, there's a theological question that needs to be asked about these once professing believers who abandoned the faith. And the question is this: were they true believers in the first place? Because as one podcaster put it, God does not undo miracles, and that includes the miracle of being born again. If you're born again, you're born again. It can't be undone. And so that's a question for another time that we will not tackle today. Now, others don't abandon the faith. They deconstruct their faith. To deconstruct their Christian faith means that the Christianity that they were taught, that they were raised in, that they believed in, it no longer works for them. There's many reasons why a person begins the deconstruction process. Perhaps their faith was challenged in a university classroom or through a certain podcast or a YouTube channel. Maybe their faith was rattled because something tragic happened and their faith was unable to navigate them through it. Maybe it's a Christian truth that is so difficult to grasp, the reality of an eternal hell, or Jesus is the only way to God, or that the Bible teaches that marriage is between a man and a woman only. Often people deconstruct their faith or they become progressive Christians because in their hearts and minds there's this clash. There's a war going on between what God says in the Bible and what is happening in the culture. And often if you go down this progressive path, the culture is going to win over the Bible. So there's a movement out there called the deconstruction movement. And like the progressive movement, it's gaining momentum. And the deconstruction movement is connected to the progressive Christianity movement because to be a progressive Christian, one most likely will have a deconstruction journey of some kind. Kevin Max, of course, is an example of one going through such a journey. So let's answer the question, what is progressive Christianity? And you could just go to one of their websites and they'll tell you that it's an open, intelligent, collaborative approach to the Christian tradition and the life and teachings of Jesus that promotes a pathway into an authentic and relevant religious experience. And we should be offended by that statement. I was. It's an interesting statement that a pathway into an authentic and relevant religious experience. It assumes that the pathway of the evangelical and biblical Christianity does not and cannot be a pathway into authentic and relevant religious experience. And they will say that because an authentic and relevant religious experience for the progressive Christian is a life free from the evangelical church. It's a life free from truth claims. It's a life free from doctrine. It's a life free, and I'll throw this in, squeeze it in, a life free from certain elements associated with the culture of evangelical Christianity. Some would claim that evangelical Christianity is a privileged white man's religion that is sexist and homophobic. Others would claim that evangelicals are Christian nationalists. Unfortunately, there are the bad apples among evangelicals who represent not these non-biblical viewpoints. Someone on a deconstruction journey wants to free him or herself from anything that is associated evangelical. And often in that journey, a person becomes a progressive Christian. It's hard to come up with a precise definition of a progressive Christian because their stories vary depending on what they are deconstructing. But there are some common elements among them. So progressive Christian Mel White says this. If there is any one message in the Bible, if there's any one message the Bible delivers, it is a message that God loves the outcast, that Jesus was born into the world an outcast to rescue and renew outcasts from religion gone bad. He was born poor and died poor, and the legacy of love he left us, the legacy of inclusion and acceptance and understanding, will endure forever. So when I read that, I read that evangelicals have corrupted Christianity. That would be the religion gone bad. And I also read that there's a perceived lack among evangelical Christians of accepting the outcast, of love, inclusion, acceptance, and understanding. Now, with that said, I don't want to underestimate the fact that many people have been hurt by the evangelical church. I've heard way too many stories of this actually happened. I know people where this has actually happened. I do not want to underestimate that part, and those kind of things should never, ever happen among believers. Well, let's get back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 15. A progressive Christian will have a very hard time with a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins, missing a word there, in accordance with the Scriptures. They have trouble with that because there's truth claims in that scripture and the ones that follow. Now, Paul, in this passage, used commonly recognized language indicating that a body of information has been passed down to him from other Christians that he's now delivered or had delivered to the Corinthians. In this body of information, possibly an early Christian creed is the heart of the gospel. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Scriptures like Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 12, point to the substitutionary death of Jesus. Notice a couple other truth claims in verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Jesus was buried, and then in accordance with God's word, he was raised on the third day. Scriptures like Hosea 6:2 point to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So you got three truth claims so far. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And then notice in verses 5 to 8, another truth claim that the resurrected Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. That means they passed away. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. The post-resurrection appearances of Jesus form another truth claim. Now, Cephas is the Aramaic name for Peter. James is the brother of Jesus. And Paul was the last of the apostles that Jesus appeared to. These four truth claims are important core beliefs of historic Christianity. And again, progressive Christians want to be free from beliefs like that. Now, our core beliefs are anchored in the Bible. According to 2 Timothy 3:16, we believe that the Bible was inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we may be competent and equipped for every good work. But how does a progressive Christian view the Bible? Well, in the progressive church, the Bible is viewed more like an ancient spiritual travel journal than the inspired, inerrant, and authoritative Word of God. The biblical writers are viewed as well-meaning ancient people who are doing their best to understand God in the times and places in which they live, but they were not necessarily speaking for God. Scripture is seen as contradictory and not internally coherent and not authoritative for Christians. Well, this takes us to the outline. There are three truths about the progressive church. First of all, progressive Christianity undermines the authority of the Bible. You know, progressive Christianity sounds nice, sounds kind of noble, but when I hear progressive, I think of Flo. I can't help it. I just do. But the progressive Christianity undermines the authority of God's Word. So what do I mean by the authority of God's Word? Well, we can go right to the Converge Church website, and we can see that the Word of God, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, fully inspired and without error in the original manuscripts, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And notice that it has supreme authority in all matters of life and conduct. This is what we believe as a church. It's a statement like this, though, that the progressive Christians want to get away from. John Piepo wrote that for the progressive Christian, the Bible is viewed as an ancient, outdated text with ever-diminishing authority in the face of progressing of knowledge, in the face of the progressing of knowledge. So that means that as time goes on, as humanity makes progress more and more, the Bible will become more and more outdated to the progressive Christian. As history rolls on, there's going to be progress in things like technology, science, medicine, athletic records, the list goes on. But when it comes to things like human goodness, morality, all we got to do is watch the news. I mean, we look at this situation in Ukraine, and we hear numerous stories of generosity and kindness. You got people in Poland, you got people in Hungary, and they're saying to the refugees, we have room in our house. Come live with us. We have food, we have water, we have clothing, you can go to our schools. Just numerous acts of generosity, but we see this in the evil brutality of this invasion going on. Vladimir Putin is just evil on full display, and he doesn't want to stop, and we want to pray that it does stop. And so, getting back to the Bible, in a couple sermons from now, we're going to take a closer look at the relationship between the Bible and progressive Christianity. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians 15 now. So we have these four truths. And these are among the Christian truths that are essential for our faith. Now, progressive Christians will look at number one, and they will say, yes, Jesus died, but he did not die for my sins. Progressive Christians reject the truth that Christ died an atoning death. They even describe it as cosmic child abuse. We'll look closer at that later in the series. Now, progressive Christians have no trouble with number two. Yeah, he was buried, but they have a lot of trouble with number three. Big issue that Jesus was raised from the dead. They will say that Jesus was not, they might say that he was not bodily raised from the dead, he was just spiritually raised, but most progressive Christians view the resurrection of Jesus as just a myth. And then the fourth belief is that Jesus did not physically appear to people after he died. How could he? Because he was not physically raised from the dead. We could add other essential truths now. God exists. The Bible is inspired by God. The reality is supernatural, including angels, demons, miracles and so forth. Progressive Christians believe there's a God, but not the God of the Bible. They're skeptical that we have any capacity to know God. And plus, they're attracted to this, pantheism. I just came across this not too long in my study of progressive Christianity, but this is a constructed word of the English equivalence of the Greek terms pan, meaning all, then in, meaning in, and theism, derived from the Greek theos, meaning God. Pantheism considers God and the world to be interrelated, and the world being in God and God being in the world. So to be a progressive Christian, go back to Kevin Max. Remember, he believed in a universal Christ. Universal Christ. According to progressive theologian Richard Rohr, the universal Christ is Christ as God is everywhere. In other words, Christ in everything, everything in Christ. Pantheism. Well, number six. Go back to the list here. The Bible is inspired by God. Progressive Christians claim that the Bible is a human creation, not divinely inspired. Number seven, they claim that reality is confined to just the physical and that the supernatural realities do not exist. And thus, progressive Christians claim that miracles can be scientifically explained. So the mindset of a progressive Christian is like many people in our own country of America that believe that the founding documents of our country are old and static and irrelevant in our society that is progressing. So those who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution certainly could not foresee what life in America would be like in the 21st century. And thus those old documents must be reinterpreted or just thrown out. Progressive Christians say that the Bible is thousands of years old and history has progressed, and thus the Bible must be reinterpreted considering all the progress that we've made as humans. Brian McLaren would be a good example of this. Brian McLaren has written and advocated for a new kind of Christianity. And this new kind of Christianity means reading the Bible through one's own personal and cultural experiences. So when we read the Bible like that, then the Bible can be reinterpreted and then reinterpreted again depending on our own experiences and the climate of our culture. When I graduated with my Doctor of Ministry degree at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary in May of 2009, I found out that on that day that I graduated, I found out that a college classmate of mine also graduated that day in the D-Min program with a different program. We were both at Bethel College. We both graduated with a BA in Biblical and Theological Studies, but we've lost track with one another after we graduated from high school, long before social media. And after we graduated, he went to Denver Seminary. I went to Bethel Seminary. We both got our Master of Divinity. So it was great to see him. And as we chatted, I asked about his roommate at Bethel College, because his roommate also got the same BA in Biblical and Theological Studies. So I just asked, how's he doing? And he told me that after graduation, his roommate also went to a seminary, but that seminary was much more liberal than Denver and Bethel. And as he pursued his master's degree, he began to question some of the essential truths of the faith. And in doing so, he I didn't know the terminology back then, but he deconstructed his faith that he was raised in and even educated in through college. And as he went through this deconstruction journey, he turned to progressive Christianity. It leads to a second truth about progressive Christianity. They're skeptical about objective truth. They're skeptical because they're influenced by postmodernism. When it comes to postmodernism, think of skepticism, think of relativism, think of that there's no absolute truth. Consider also that postmodernism is an intellectual stance that will challenge traditional worldviews, worldviews like a biblical worldview. A progressive Christian will look at the beliefs of an evangelical Christian as unimportant and even dangerous because these truths can be weaponized and to be used to hurt other people. For example, the Bible is clear that there's only one way to have a personal relationship with God and to get to God, and that's through Jesus and Jesus alone. Well, that belief can be offensive to many people. The progressive Christian would respond by rejecting this exclusiveness that Jesus is the only way to heaven because there's no objective truth. And on top of that, a progressive Christian will say that such narrow beliefs bring harm to others. Again, John Piepel, to the postmodern progressive Christian, the idea that one person or one tribe or one culture or one religion or one person could have access to the truth is horrific. Arrogance, and here it is, oppressive, abusive. In the progressive North America and Europe, this reaction is the norm. Progressive Christians are inoculated against objective truth. You know, as an Uber driver for over 7 years now, I've had progressive Christians in my vehicle. I never tell my passengers that I'm a pastor unless they ask me what I do. And I've had many wonderful, countless conversations with people over the years, and I've encountered many who are no longer part of the evangelical church, and I listen to them, and I want to be a good listener. I try to ask questions. I try to engage in their world. And with that said, here at Converge Church, we will strive, Pastor Mike and I, to always teach and preach biblical truth. We'll always stand on the Word of God. But we want to make sure that if people do have questions, then this church needs to be a safe place to ask questions. If someone is struggling with their faith, if someone is struggling with what the Bible says about God or what the Bible says about a certain topic, well, let's make sure that they can ask questions here in our community groups and in other settings. We can have good conversations right here in this facility. As I worked on this sermon, I realized that I need to slip in an extra sermon about doubt. Is it okay to go through periods of doubt in our Christian journey? That will be my next sermon as we go through this series. So in recent years, there's been a steady exodus of people leaving the church, questioning their faith, questioning a certain teaching of the Bible. Some of the reasons are the authority of the Bible. Now, we don't believe that or question that. They question that Jesus is the only way to God in heaven. How can a good and loving God allow tragic things that happen? They look at Ukraine. If God is so good and so loving, how can this happen? How can families be split apart? How can maternity hospitals be bombed? And schools being bombed? If God is so loving, he wouldn't have allowed that. Or that the Bible teaches that marriage is between a man and a woman only. That's a big issue among progressive Christians. And then that also the truth that sex outside of marriage is a sin. The truths contained in God's Word are becoming more and more offensive to people. But our world is becoming more and more hostile towards the church. A few days ago, my wife sent me a link to a podcast. This Christian podcast was out of Australia. And the topic was a commentary about a new law that was recently passed in the province of Victoria in Australia. Because of this new law, it is now illegal in that province to teach or preach or do anything that would cause another person to convert to Jesus. You can't even talk about the gospel in this province. And part of this law, you can't even pray for another person's salvation in this province. And according to the Human Rights Commission, it plans to enforce this law and plans to target churches. So we'll see how this plays out. Let's go on to the third truth. Progressive Christianity is linked to the deconstruction of the Christian faith. In recent years, many well-known evangelical Christians have done this. Rob Bell, James Prescott, Hillsong worship leader Marty Sampson are among them. What is it? That's a long quote. I'm not going to read it all. Here's a short quote by John Bloom. Deconstruction is a critical dismantling of a person's understanding of what it means to be an evangelical Christian, and in some cases, a refusal to recognize as authorities those perceived as occupying privileged evangelical institutional positions who supposedly speak for God. We're going to see throughout this series that for the progressive Christian, behavior is more important than belief, which is kind of a contradiction for them because they do have a set of beliefs. In this series, we're going to examine some viewpoints of the progressive Christianity. In doing so, we're going to find out and learn and maybe relearn that the essential truths of the Christian faith cannot be so easily dismissed and watered down. For example, in two sermons from now, we'll see that the Bible is not an outdated, irrelevant book of myths. We'll see that the Bible is the living Word of God that can transform our lives into joyful, loving followers of Jesus. I want to get back to the... Not flow. To this book. I got that book out again, and I skimmed through it. When I devour a book, I underline, I make stars, I'm writing in the columns. And that's exactly what I did with this book. It is so marked up. I mean, nobody would buy it because it has my handprint all over it. This book was encouraged my faith to grow deeper. And I've been a pastor for over 25 years at that point. And it was just a great, encouraging book. Here's the last, now I got to go all the way this way. Here's the last quote, the very last paragraph of this book. This is the gospel. This is the truth that all Christian doctrine celebrates. This is the truth that every follower of Jesus Christ is called to cherish and preserve, even die for. It is the only truth on which we can build our lives and rest our eternal hope. And I say amen. But I say amen to an author who's now an atheist. And so... Here's my theory. I'm just about Joshua Harris. I might read the book again, but I've read it. I've skimmed through it again, and I'm thinking there's no way that a non-Christian could have written it. It is so deep. It is so theological rich. So here's my theory. Joshua Harris is going to come back eventually. He's going to make his way back to God if he's born again. Which I think he is, he's going to come back to the Lord. So let's pray for Josh Harris. And let's also pray that all of us, as we conclude this, that we can continue on the path or get on the path towards spiritual growth and spiritual depth and maturity so we can recognize a lot of the red flags of progressive Christianity. Well, let's pray. Father, we do pray for Joshua Harris. Wherever he's at right now, I know his life has been in a tailspin ever since the announcement. He divorced his wife and lots of things going on. But Father, if he's truly born again, we pray that you would bring conviction right now. The things that he wrote about in this book, I pray, Lord, that he would just recall those. I pray the Holy Spirit would remind him that he is one of your children. And then Father, for us here at Converge Church, I pray that all of us will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that as we have our personal devotions, as we're part of this community of faith believers, as part of a Bible study, a part of a community group, Lord, I pray that each day we are becoming more and more like Jesus and growing in our knowledge of God's Word, in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this time, and thank you for the time that we're going to have downstairs enjoying a meal together. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.